The New Channel. The New Channel. Hashtag TNC Now.
The views, opinions, and insights expressed in the following shows are those of the host, producers, guests, and viewers. They do not necessarily reflect the position of the channel. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to The New Channel. Our passion transforms a community that sees and shares all things new. This is Design Your Life with Frances Bauer.
Do you like to watch and live vicariously through others' family lives, travels, relationships, passions? This show is here to encourage you to go beyond just dreaming. We'll show you some things that'll stretch your beliefs, and you'll meet some people whose real-world experiences and perspectives just might help you figure out how to go after the life you want, and maybe even break some mental barriers you didn't realize you had. This is Design Your Life with Frances Bauer.
Episode of Design Your Life, we're going wine tasting.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
How can I help y'all today?
We're here to have some wine.
Fantastic.
Hello and welcome to Design Your Life with Frances Bauer. And my guest today, believe it or not, is my husband, Travis.
Hi, guys.
Travis Bauer.
That's
who gave me that last name. Because clearly I don't look like I was born a Bauer. But the reason why I dragged my husband onto the show is because he happens to be a wine aficionado. And we also happen to live in a really great... not quite as well-known wine-growing region as those you may have heard of in Italy or in France, but California, Santa Cruz Mountains, I believe that's the region that this is part of, where you're in Half Moon Bay. Lesser known than you probably hear more about Napa County, Sonoma, if you remember where Keanu Reeves' movie Walk in the Clouds was filmed. That was Napa Valley. We're a little further south of that in what is called that region called Santa Cruz Mountains in Half Moon Bay. So, right here, just off of the, interestingly enough, just off of the main road, La Nebbia Winery. Anyway, so I remember not too long ago, a friend of mine came to visit from the Philippines, and she just didn't understand what the big deal was.
Yeah.
I was dying to take her wine tasting, and I couldn't quite articulate why it was such a big deal. And she told me, you know, all I really know about wine is rosé and sangria. And so,
which we do have. We have a
rosé right here. Right, oh, here. This one right here. And so I just wanted to share with our audience, guys, as part of, you know, designing your life, if you find yourself in a position where they're serving a variety of wines and there's no sangria and there's no rosé, or maybe you're looking to kind of try it out and you know, maybe adjust your palate to wines, I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to see what that's like and how to go about it. And so first and foremost, I wanted to ask you though, honey, the first time wine buyer, if they want to buy wine for the first time, and I know it can be really, really overwhelming, because there's so many things to pick from.
Yeah.
There's so many price points. The tendency for people is to go cheap and then hate it and tell everyone that they don't like wine. So what's your tip for the first time wine buyer?
For the first time wine buyer, if you're going to go with a lighter wine, bubbly is always a nice way to go. It gives you that nice bubbly flavor, crisp, very clean, and pretty much goes with any dish that you have. If you're looking for more like a red, which we don't have on our lineup, unfortunately, I would recommend going with a red blend. Now, a lot of people will say a lot of things about red blend, but what I like about red blend is it gives the winemakers the opportunity to be creative. They take the vines of grapes that they have and they make their own special kind of wine out of it. And it has no boundaries. That's what I like about the red blend. Price point, it's usually on the lower end of that price point because of that, which is another great opportunity for you to venture into trying a new different kind of wine. And of course, once you find a wine that suits more your palate, you start shifting more towards that direction.
Okay. Now, as far as wine tasting is concerned, for the first time wine taster, what tips do you have?
I always recommend going with the white, because that's going to be your more favorable kind of wine for first time. It's very light. It's not a harsh on flavors. Everyone can pick up on the flavors of your own wine. The reds are going to be more your medium and heavier body of wine. So the flavor is going to be a little bit more robust, bold. And to start off, I always recommend going lighter and then work your way towards bold.
Kind of how we have.
Yeah, that's pretty much how our lineup is right
here. Is that have to do with your palate changing as you try different things?
Yeah. So the biggest mistake people make when they first try wine tasting is they'll usually start on the red, which is, like I said, it's more robust and bold. So your palate will get kind of shot. It adjusts and accommodates to the heavier wine, where as you're going down to the lighter, you're going to miss that crisp, that clean. Your palate's not going to pick up all those flavors. And that's where a lot of people go, like, I don't like the lighter wine, because they are drinking heavier wine before they even get to the lighter wine.
It makes me wonder too, there are people that will be like, oh, I don't like red, it's bitter.
Yeah. Some palate, for some people, they're getting bolder and bolder flavor. Everyone's taste buds will pick up different flavors in the wine. So as you get to starting red, it can be bitter at first. But that's why I always recommend, as well for first-time goers, have a cheese board, have a charcuterie board, have something that can help your palate flavor out so it's not completely bitter.
Okay, well, these have been sitting long enough, I feel. And this bubbly is going to be running out. So let's start with the bubbly. So, is there a special way you recommend people trying, you know, I've heard different things like swirl or bubble it on your tongue or what have you. I'm just going to take a sip right now because it's been calling my name.
So usually with the sparkling wine, you want to do a light dip on the first go. Light dip, let it coat the palate of your tongue, which is what you're saying. To swirl, it's kind of like you're jumping on the wine. Let the wine palate hit the tongue. Just for a few seconds, and then you dip back.
Swirl
just a little bit. Let it coat the tongue first. Just for a few seconds, and then dip back.
So tiny sip. a teeny tiny sip, just to wet the tongue.
Just to wet the tongue. You will notice at first it will have a spice to it, but that's the crispness of the bubbly of the wine. And then you'll notice it brings out the flavors and the aftertaste.
I'm looking at this thing has, cause so folks, these things sometimes will come with, when you go wine tasting, sometimes it'll come with tasting notes.
Yeah.
And they sound super crazy because you're like, I thought this was all made out of grape. What are we talking about? Hints of grapefruit, low residual sugar, or what is it? Dry hints of tropical fruit and rose petal. This other one says cherry pie, cedar, and violet herbs. Yes, yeah. Folks, this is where we're going to taste all those. There's where all those tasting notes come from.
Yeah.
Is that what? Yeah. And that you know what? Correct. I'm totally getting it. It says crisp and bubbly with hints of grapefruit, low residual sugar. So it's not, you know, lingering anymore. I would love this with food.
So it could be a little bit dry.
So what in these terms, what is meant by that word dry?
So dry is where it doesn't have enough body to it to where it's gonna allow it to stay there. It's a refreshment crisp.
So it doesn't linger. That's I guess that's what that means. It doesn't linger.
And
is what dry means. So clearly it's wet, right?
Yeah.
Clearly it's wet.
So it just allowed the palate to feel the refreshness of that drink. It won't allow it to sit there and linger like you were drinking a heavier.
So you've been doing a lot of talking there.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
let you give that a try, honey. So what are your tasting notes as I cover theirs?
So definitely it's light on the sugar. I don't taste anything that has like a sugar aftertaste.
Yes.
To me, it has almost like an apple juice.
It's like flavor. Green apple. I'm getting green apple. It says grapefruit, but I'm getting a lot of green apple. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's just very light and refreshing. This is actually not very very sweet. Normally, a lot of folks that buy the white wines, you're going to get something that's super sweet, like a Moscato. Goodness. I call that syrup. Just because it's such a syrupy, sweet grape.
Yeah.
And so you'll see a lot of, what is it? They call this a California
Cave. They call it California Cave or California Sparkling Wine.
Mm.
And it does live up to that name.
It
had a nice sparkleish flavor to it. Very clean, very elegant. Great for light dishes. So if you're doing stuff like a real simple pasta dish, this is something that will be really, really good with
like
it.
A carbonara.
Yeah.
Or even just butter parmesan.
Yeah. All it's going to do is complement. It's going to complement the food that you're eating.
Mm.
And it's just very refreshing. It's extremely refreshing.
Okay, I'm going to try this one. This is their rosé.
So this is the most common one. This is what a lot of people go to when they have wine. A lot of women love it. It's very... Same as a sparkling wine, it does have the dry hint of it, but it's gonna be more on a fruity, tropical-ish flavor. So it won't be as bubbly. It's gonna have a little bit more of a cream crisp to it. I'm gonna go ahead and try it, see how that is. Pretty good. It's not too bad.
You like it?
Now, I'll be honest, guys. I'm I'm not a huge rosé person. I like more of the sparkling. I like more of a Chardonnay-ish. Rosé falls kind of like a little bit down on the on my scale.
Okay.
Sparkly. To me, it tastes flat to my palate.
Mm-hmm.
I like the body to be a little bit more bolder.
Well, we were just drinking a bubbly, so.
This is an example of what I mean. It's like you want to start out with the lighter wines and work your way through. Because if we would have had the rosé before the sparkling, you would have totally missed the flavor of what was in the sparkling wine. Because the flavor that's in this rosé, as they're noting in here, is tropical fruits and rose petals. Tropical fruits will be a little bit more sour when it's being fermented. That's going to overpower anything that's like a grapefruit or a mango flavor or apple. So we would have totally missed those flavors in sparkling wine.
Okay. So that's the rosé. So I'm looking at this third one they served us. I'm kind of wondering if this should have gone last. Let's do this one last.
It's really dark.
Let's do that one last.
This is going to be a last one. Because this is pretty
See how
bold.
Fun this is? So this one would be a Merlot. Tell our friends about Merlot.
So Merlot is it's the next step up on the red.
Okay.
So when you get first time red wine, red blend is a good medium. Red blend is a mix of all the fine that they have. Merlot is going to be a medium body tension. So it's going to go, it's going to be a first one if you're doing like anything that's kind of like chicken or like anything at the steak.
So by medium body, do you mean this, how strong the flavor is?
The flavor is going to be more of a medium flavor.
Okay.
It's also the aging process. It's not aged as long as some of the other older wines. So the flavor is going to be a little bit more present.
Okay.
On a fast note. It's not going to be shocky.
Yes.
It's going to be very velvety. It's going to have a nice, clean finish on the red. This is actually one of the most popular ones that people put with pasta because it had that velvety finish to it. And it's not going to be chalky. So it's something that you don't want to have with pasta that's chalky.
Very chalky, so that dry, powdery aftertaste is what we're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't have that. Here you go, honey.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
So this is their 2021 Mendocino. Medium body and tannins with a velvety dry finish.
Yeah, that's nice.
So can you tell us what is meant by tannins? Like, I guess tannins is some sort of substance, but how does that affect our tasting notes? Why is it even on there?
Tannins will be based on the grape acidity. What the grape produces as it ferments and ages, it's another part of what the tannins are. So the tannins will release its own natural kind of like acid flavor that the grape produce. And that's where the importance of where they're vined. And that's why California is very, very notorious and popular for wine that made on a global scale compared to Europe. We have that coastal, which by the way, we are only a few miles from the coast.
You can smell the ocean air from here. It's and the salt is on our windshields.
So the wine, as it goes through a cooling phase and growing, the coastal air was very salty. But very cool compared to most saltiness in the region. The only places in the world that get close to the same format will be of Europe. You have France, you have Spain, you have all
those are all coastal countries.
Yes. And then, of course, if you go into the Mediterranean, like Italy, Tuscany, if you look at where the most popular wines are located, they're also along the coast and the mountain ranges.
Yeah. Which is Santa Cruz Mountains.
Yeah.
That coastal mountain range.
We're just on the northern part of Santa Cruz Mountain, and we are just south of the Cerritos Mountain Range, which is on the northern part of San Francisco. So about 70 miles from here is the beginning of where these vines would have came from. And it Merlot, these kind of Merlots, I really do enjoy it. You get to enjoy the flavor of the wine. The flavor comes out. It's not too bold. The tannins are very medium body, which is what it stands. It's medium. It's like a grape, almost like a grapefruit. And it's velvety, so it allows the flavor to be very nice.
So you talked a lot. I'm finding us talking a lot about topography and geography, general geography and topography.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with the wine? How does it affect the wine? Why are certain regions better than others when it comes to grape and wine?
Well, the grapes are, they're actually delicate vines. The vines grow based on humidity and temperature. And also based on the humidity, that's what makes the demographic location so well for it to grow. They do like heat, but they also like coolness. So at night, when it's cold and it gets that coastal moisture, it's almost like it's rehydrating its own vine. And that's where the grape will pick up and become more fruitful. It'll start bearing better and it will have more flavor, which is very important in the beginning part of its growing phase, leading up to what they call old vine. Old vines mean they've been around for a very, very, very long time.
I'm going to start back here, since we still have some.
And the old vines will, as they mature, they don't produce as much grape. But because they still get that moisture, just like they were when it was younger, it becomes more bold and tart. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where the older wine and bolder wine come from. They make up more of the heavier red. They are very, very strong and tannin flavor.
Wow.
It grows.
So we got that. Let me see here. So let's go to our next one. We got a Petite Syrah. So are these varietals? And it's interesting. When we're looking at European wine selections, I really don't recognize the names of those. Are these varietals that we're accustomed to? That we live around only California specific,
yeah.
And by varietals I mean the kind of grape, because there's so many different kinds of grapes. So are these kinds of grapes only
in California
or tend to be more specific to California?
I would say more to the U.S. market.
Okay.
Of course, all these grapes, they all came from Europe at one point in time. So as they variations of the grape and it migrated way over into the United States. They kind of breed them differently to accommodate for the change in soil, change in temperature, change in the environment. At that time too, nobody really knew how well the grape would grow here. So they had to almost mix the vine to make sure that they survived.
And that's how you have all
different
these varietals.
Different breedings of vine. And that's what created a different flow of wine that are very popular in the U.S., in California specifically, that became a favorite for a lot of people around the world.
So I know I just said that a lot of these varietals that we're accustomed to drinking, you and I, are more, are very U.S. specific. I'm seeing this one here, though, Petit Sirah. I know that there's a particular Australian brand that hasn't paid me, so I'm not mentioning their name. But this Australian winery has Petit Sirah. So maybe not necessarily.
No, it became very popular, and now this particular kind of vine, or it's like a hybrid. It survived in different parts of the world now. So if I'm not mistaken,
I'm gonna let you off the hook and try that.
Tell people what you think of this one.
Well, I was getting a little bit of a. It's definitely a. Stronger in flavor than that Merlot. The tasting notes say full-bodied, which means stronger in flavor, right? With notes of plum, chocolate, and coffee. Now, I most definitely get that plum flavor.
Yeah.
Not so much the chocolate and coffee, but again, everyone's palate is different. But sometimes, too, folks, you get more flavors. Your palate is able to pick up more flavors as you continue to drink. It's one of those things that kind of get you taste more after the first few sips. Every sip is, maybe not every sip, but every other sip is different, and the flavors develop as you try it out. What are your thoughts on this one specifically? Well, Petit Sirah in general.
I definitely can taste the plum.
Mm-hmm.
The plum is pretty dominant. And that's not uncommon in Syrah.
Okay.
It's just the way it's aging process of the vine. And it's very elegant. I do get a little taste of the chocolate. Not the coffee part of what they're mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
But I can taste the chocolate on the back end. It usually comes in about a few seconds afterwards.
You know, and that's so... It's so amusing for me that flavors will not all show up at the same time.
Yeah, yes.
Sometimes you get a flavor in the beginning. You'll taste it as soon as you take your sip, and then as you're continuing to drink, kind of that you get different flavors, and then as soon as you put your glass down, and you've swallowed, another flavor comes out. It's amazing.
It's amusing. It's the beauty of our way of our body tasting different things.
Mm.
And like you said, everyone is different. Everyone's going to taste it differently. Common thing I get from people that have these kind of Syrah, that they, it's very shocky at first.
Get that. It's that, you get that.
It's kind of like grit.
It feels like you've been eating powder,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's that dry after feel.
Yeah.
Just a and little that, bit.
Mm-hmm. That is common with full body. Full body will have more of a shockiness. It'll seem kind of dry. And it's funny because people look at these two and they're like, oh, you're staying dry on this and dry on the red.
Hmm.
And going back to the sparkling, that's where it meant bubbly, it clean and crisp, where this one is not bubbly, but it's dry, it leaves that dry aftertaste of the shockiness, which is the aging process of that grape.
Mm.
And it's amusing. It's very amusing.
Yes, yeah. How do you like this one? Do you want
to? That one's good. Mm. I do like it. It's something I would prefer to have, maybe with red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Just because,
so like a steak or some barbecue?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Even with barbecue chicken, that would be really
barbecue
good.
Barbecue chicken. Okay.
That would actually not be too bad.
I probably wouldn't with a barbecue chicken, but yes, I'm just thinking pork though.
That would work. That would work too.
Like, because with that char, the char and the fat and just... This is just a nice way to cut it.
And that that's the nice part about it. It will allow the flavors of the wine to complement the food, and the food will complement the wine. So that it's like harmony between the two. And yeah, when you find those two and you're having it together, it just makes you enjoy the wine even more.
So essentially, it is your glorified spicy vinegar.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
No, because, well, I was going to say don't drink the spicy vinegar, but I've tried it and it's pretty...
It's got a burn to it.
You get a burn, right? For sure. Okay, so the California varietal, I believe it's a California thing.
Yeah.
Zinfandel.
This is actually probably one of my most favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I like it because it aged a little bit longer.
Okay.
And it's more jammy. It has the flavors of the actual fruitness.
Okay, hold on.
Comes out.
Let me try to translate here. Jammy.
Yeah.
Sweet grape juice.
Yeah.
It's funny because whenever you say jammy, I say, when I tell you something tastes juicy, like grape juice, you tend to call it jammy. So
yeah,
I'm trying to translate for.
Yeah, that's the term. That is the term that people use in the winery.
Uh-huh.
So it gets more like a grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
If it seems more of that than wine, that's where we call it jammy.
I almost feel though, like if I'm gonna get something that tastes like grape juice, why don't I just buy grape juice, and add some alcohol to it? However, the flavors are a lot more complex.
Yeah,
folks. So the tasting notes on this say,
let me give it a shot here.
Jammy black pepper with a smoky finish. Great holiday wine. Now, I know that sounds horrible because I imagine myself having not tasted this going, grape juice with pepper and smoke. But apparently it's good.
Yeah, this is good.
Now, folks at home, please don't grab some grape juice, add some, grind some pepper into it, and put it under some smoke.
No, don't do that. You'll ruin your palate, and you're going to hate that grape juice.
I think this is my favorite one thus far. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because it's very...
The pepper is really present.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where the spice in the wine is. That's what is known in this particular style of wine.
Mm.
It's usually peppery. It has that nice flavor of spice right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
It is a full body wine,
mm-hmm.
so it's going to have that nice coat. And then what's really interesting with it, like you were mentioning, it does have a smokiness to it, which is not common. And like I said, different wines will do different things.
Mm-hmm.
They will try different techniques to this particular wine.
I mean, don't you just grab the specific variety of grape, ferment it, and pour it?
No, it's all different phases. So, mm-hmm. as they age from wine, the wine can get shipped to a different barrel.
Mm-hmm.
During the middle of the fermentation. And that is where they change the flavor profile of your wine. So if the wine was being shipped regularly from the original fermentation process to now an oak barrel that is coated in flavored pepper and all these other spices, it's going to continue to age that long in that particular barrel and pick up those flavors. And it, like I said, it's unique. It is what makes different wineries special, because every winemaker put its own mark on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes these so fun, you know, to go wine tasting. And I always tell people, don't be afraid to try it. It's just, and it's okay. You're going to find wines that you don't like, and that's okay. And that's the beauty of learning the whole wine process. It, you're looking to find a wine that suits you. And like I said, I am more of a full body, bold red wine. That is my
specialty. I'm looking at the levels at which what we've drank so far, and the reds are at blue.
Yeah, the reds will go a little quicker.
Quicker for the two of us.
And it, like I said, the short term for this is gin. It's G-I-N.
Zinfandel, but it's Zinfandel.
And it is a beautiful red wine. I mean, it is another varietal of winery that is specifically popular in California. And because it is a California wine.
I really like this one, though.
This one is good.
My previous experience with Zinfandels, they tend to be very more... I don't necessarily want to call it sour. I know the term acidic, right? Doesn't necessarily mean it's sour, but like that high acidity level, but not necessarily sour in flavor.
Yeah.
Zinfandels tend to do that for me. They tend to be, so I'm really pleased that this one is not. I tend to get a little nervous when I see a Zinfandel because I think it's going to be like very high acidity. So I'm pleasantly surprised.
And I've tried numerous times to convert her, and she's coming around. And and like I said, when we originally were starting the wine taste together, you made it perfectly clear that this type of wine was not your style. But I convinced her to give it a chance, and she would tell me when some wines are not good. That's fine, but. When she started learning that every winery had its own spin on that particular style of wine, she opened herself up and actually tried different variations. Now your collection of wine that you enjoy is more than doubled.
Well, I used to be like Merlot for me. Mm-hmm. And Merlot for me just felt like a waste of money. I felt like for the money that I was paying, I wasn't getting the flavor, the value that I wanted. It was just, it didn't get a whole lot of flavor. I wasn't getting all that much. I would rather have a red blend, which by the way, tend to be a little bit cheaper just because sometimes it's when a winemaker does a red blend, they kind of just take little bits of leftovers here and there and make a batch out of it.
Yeah.
Do things with it to make, they take a bunch of different grape types, put what they got, adjust it, and they have their little red blend, and that tends to be a little bit more cost effective, so to speak, a little more inexpensive versus a Merlot. But as I've had the opportunity to try more Merlots, I'm finding, there's some really good Merlots out there. And Zinfandels as well.
So it's just, like I said, every winery has its own different way of doing it. And if you shoot yourself down on one in the very beginning and you refuse to try a different kind.
Well, I was forced though.
Yeah.
I was forced. It kept getting ordered and I didn't have a choice. Kidding. Totally kidding. I wanted to introduce you all to our lovely server, Reese, and she's been taking really good care of us. And, you know, one of the things that we were kind of scratching our head on is this Negro Amaro varietal. We're accustomed to the California varietals, the Merlot, the Zinfandel, the Petite Syrah, but what is this Negro Amaro? Is it a varietal? Is it a blend? What is it?
Well, I can't tell you too much about if it's a varietal or a blend. I only know so much. But the Negro Amaro is an old school Italian wine. It's on the lighter bodied side. It's a little bit sweet, a lot of fruit in there. People love it. And that's why we put it in our white combo flight, because it pairs so nicely with those other white wines because it's so light.
It does. And it's amazing. We're kind of amazed because when we were putting out our
you know, as you saw, we had, you know, and we were lining up according to color, mm-hmm. light to dark, right? And we saw this Negro Amaro, and like, yeah. it is a really dark looking wine. Mm-hmm. So we put it at the end, and, you know, after we had the Merlot, the Petite Syrah, the Zin, and then this Negro Amaro, it worked out. But we were mm-hmm. able to go back to the whites again
yeah.
and enjoy them. And I don't know what to make of that.
right. It pairs so nicely. And just like you'd said, like, you uh-huh. don't get that shock factor like yes. you usually do with wines. There's no zing there. It's very mellow and easy to drink. And again, it is almost like a port, right, with the sweetness.
It is.
It's so interesting.
It totally is.
Yeah. And perfect. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so it's really nice to end on. So I'm so glad
for
you
sure.
all liked it.
Yeah, we sure Thank did. You. Thank you, Reese.
Oh, of course. Take care.
Because the third note, by the way, saying here that it's black cherry pie, cedar, and violet herb, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of scary at one point.
almost taste goat. Mm. How is there goat in wine? I cannot explain that to you. However, I almost get, what is that? And I remember telling you about that. You said you... Is that oak? What is that flavor? That's got to be the flavor of the barrel. But, I mean, the notes say black cherry pie, cedar, and... Oh, it's cedar!
Yeah, I can't
Which is kind of wood, so the barrel was probably that type of wood, cedar. And violet herbs.
Mm.
So I can't even describe it as juicy, because it's not... Very much black cherry pie... is a great description. I'm looking yeah. at the tasting notes here. It says, right? I don't know if that's right side up for
Very
you.
Very interesting.
Black cherry pie, cedar, and violet herbs.
It is.
And
It's interesting.
I'm going to look that one up. What in the world is Negro?
Yeah. No, I think it's a new style of food. Wine that they're starting to do here in California. Because remember, a few years back, there was a pretty bad fire that occurred here in California. That many of you might have already heard about it.
Yeah. Yes, some of your wine, some of our favorite wineries went down. Thankfully, not all of them.
So. Yeah, a lot of Napa wineries were destroyed, and then that fire continued to. One of its neighbor wineries in the region, and mm-hmm. that ruined a lot of really well recognized vines that make up a lot of California wineries. So it might be a new, like I said, I haven't heard the phrase that much.
I will look it up.
it's definitely interesting.
It
would fall within that timeline because it's saying 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We get to have a bad fire back a few years before that. And then we had another fire that happened shortly after that.
Mm.
And that may be why we haven't heard of it, because they were probably trying to produce it and it might have gotten damaged.
That'll be interesting to check. But this is really nice.
It is a very nice wine. This would be more like, to me, would be more like a dessert wine.
Almost. I wouldn't quite. I could still kind of do it with food because it because it is a bit sweet. Folks, he's saying dessert wine because it is on the sweeter end. You don't have a lot of that powdery feel to it.
It is a really nice wine. It's very, it's not shocky. You know, you would
yes.
with the dark like wine.
They tend to have that powdery dry. They yeah. have that feel in your mouth that dries your mouth out. But it's
very refreshing. It's actually, that's why I'm a little startled. because I'm waiting for it to hit. And it's not. And it's like,
I'll just hit.
Yeah. But it's really good. Out of all the lineup, which one would you prefer your personal favorite?
I think my favorite here was the Zinfandel. And which kind of surprises me because I don't normally like Zinfandel.
Yes.
And I don't normally like Zinfandel because it tends to be very acidic. And by acidic, that's more of a feel than a flavor, a sourness. It's not sour, but it is a feel. And this winery Zinfandel, I really enjoyed it. It is very much, it's on the sweeter side, but understand, not as sweet as juice. Okay, it's not going to be as sweet as your gin and juice or the, what's been trending lately? Last time we were, what was it we had? It was like apple tea. It's not going to be sweet juice or like iced tea or anything like that, but relative to an alcohol on its own without mixers, it's sweet.
I am in between two wines, actually. Mm-hmm. I like their Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
Their Merlot is
actually... You like the Merlot?
I thought it was very surprising. I really enjoyed the flavor of it.
You were saying a while ago when a lot of people try to go dark and then go this way, and it does not taste as good.
No.
It's not as good.
Because you're now, your palate, ladies and gentlemen, your palate now tend to... the darker
it's
wine.
It's accustomed to the darker.
As you can see, the color difference. Might not be able to see it.
Let's try it over
lighting.
On this one.
You'll notice the difference. See how the Merlot is lighter and then the other one is dark?
So this is the Merlot.
And that's medium body.
Negro Amaro.
And that one is full body.
I feel like this might be another one of those, it's an Italian varietal that they were able to make survive here.
Yeah. So, like I said, going back, you're not going to pick up as much.
Okay, let's test that theory. Kind of here, try the light one. Kind of, sort of. But man, if you're accustomed, I'm accustomed to mixing drinks. Say start with the light and then, you know, If you start light, stay light. If you go dark, stay dark. I don't know. It works out for me some way, somehow.
I mean, surprised me the flavors on. I think, too, it's because we were having this and it's sweet.
That is
it's
sweet,
allowing our palate to readjust back to the sweetness.
Probably because we went, you know.
Yeah. Now, if we would have stopped at, like, Petit Syrah, your palate is not gonna reaccustom back to the bubbly flavors very well. But because we were getting toward the end of the red, these were actually sweet. That our palate, I think, readjusted back to what our original first drink was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm torn between the Merlot, and I do, like always, I love my gin. Gin is just it's a beautiful wine, and I'm actually becoming a fan of this new one. It's
the Negro Amaro.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very interesting. And we'll have to keep an eye out for it because I haven't seen other wineries do this yet. So this may be coming in a new lineup.
Maybe for this grape, where it doesn't really, Tracy Hills.
Yeah.
Huh. So it is from Tracy. I have not heard of grapes from Tracy before.
So that,
and that's slightly, is that more inland or is that more, it is more inland,
it's
right?
It's more
Tracy,
inland.
That area.
It's not as far inland as Lodi.
Okay.
Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is another region of winery, which is to the east and south of Napa. That is another area that is where I would say probably about 80% of the wine there are from Napa. Their vines are carried over.
Their vines. So they were transplants, I suppose? I mean, you don't really have...
Yeah. Majority of Lodi wineries are families that outgrew their wineries in Napa. So they continue to move and make a new winery in a different area, but they carry their own wine.
Does it taste different? Because I understand, I'm just thinking about the geographical location of Lodi. It is further away from the ocean.
Yeah.
It is not mountainous at all.
No.
Does it taste different?
It will taste different.
Okay.
Lodi will be a great, because of its location and it's not close to the ocean, it's not going to have a lot of white wine. The red will grow very well there. It actually, in my opinion, it becomes bolder. It actually has much more chalkiness to it.
Mm.
And the aging process is a little bit more elaborate. But it's hard to really say. I mean, knowing and trying all these different wineries, and you go to different areas, it's really all about the soil. The soil is very rich in Lodi that is similar to Napa, but it doesn't have that cold, crisp air, the ocean air that Napa picked up over the hill. So it's going to be a different kind of moisture. So the Napa wine get more of that salty, cool air, where Lodi gets more of the mountain cold air. So it's two different styles of moisture in the air. I personally find that the red wines in Lodi are better.
I have a preference for
Lodi red wine. One, for a lot of people, price point on them is very reasonable.
Well, relative to where you are, reasonable is that, you know, considering we have an international audience, a lot of it might even out after shipping and tariffs.
True. but for a lot of people, if you ever come across a wine that is from, and it says on a bottle, Lodi, that is a premium wine.
Okay.
It definitely...
Just because it doesn't say Napa doesn't mean it's not good.
That's correct.
It comes from California.
That is correct.
Okay.
It is becoming very popular. A lot of people are picking up more on Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really watching them do a lot of amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
Their red wines were underrated for a while. Mm. And... they've really been picking up.
Underrated is good news for you and I, because they're, which means the price point goes down because they're underappreciated, which means they they were selling for less for a while. So they're gaining popularity right now, huh?
That is correct.
Beautiful.
And a lot of Australian wines are the same way. When people hear of Australia, they don't think of wineries.
Gosh, no.
And Australia has produced over the last few years amazing wine. They're up there internationally. And I know a lot of our viewers are in that part of the realm of the world. You're going to see a lot of Australian wine hit your guys' shelves. And it's just like Lodi, it's really gaining popularity. And they carry similar vine. They're trying different styles of vine, similar to what we have here, to make wine available to people in like Asia, in that part of the world. And I know China has its own wineries, which I have not yet explored yet. That's going to be something that we'll talk in the future, for sure.
So let me ask you this real quick before we let everyone off the hook here.
Yeah.
Does expensive mean quality when it comes to wine? If it has a high price tag, is it good? If it has a low price tag, does it mean that it's not going to be as great?
To my personal My personal opinion, no. A price point does not mean that that is the best wine. Like I said, everyone's palate is totally different. So you could be pouring $1,000 bottle of red, which, by the way, I've had the honor of actually having some wine that cost that much. And I personally could not tell the difference, really, from, you know, the other wine that I enjoy. Yes, of course, you're going to say it tastes very well and all that because you're looking at...
Because you paid money for that.
You paid... No, you're looking at the dollar value of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, no, the wineries are overpriced and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You're really paying for the vine that it comes from and okay. the aging process of what made that wine what it is. There are points, ladies and gentlemen, that your palate will reach its threshold. And it's very common with red.
Hmm.
You'll get to the point to where you're going to taste it, and then as you get bolder or more expensive in the wine, you're not going to pick up those things that make that wine expensive. So it...
That sounds like a waste of money.
Yes. But that's why I always recommend people doing a taste, do a wine flight,
mm-hmm.
and learn what your palate really is. Like I said, I'm not a rosé person. I've tried multiple of them. I learned that is not what I enjoy. The flavors is not what I like.
So for your beginning, the person that's starting to get into wine or starting to maybe experiment, that's kind of, the goal is to kind of figure out what you like, I guess, not specifically what you're trying to sample and buy, but at least to understand what you like. I mean, you're paying for it anyway, right? This is not one of those things that it's a free sample.
Yeah. No, that's right. It to learn where your palate is satisfied. To be satisfied where you can drink it on its own.
Okay.
And you can also think about the food that you eat, that you normally have, where you could pour a refreshing drink. Because not every day everyone wants to have a soda or iced tea or just water.
Or gin and apple, green apple.
Or
gin and juice.
or having a full-on cocktail drink.
Okay.
Vodka, you know, like all these other drinks that are very strong on your palate.
Mm-hmm.
And you want something that's gonna not destroy your palate when you're eating your food. Because that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, don't do that. You want to still enjoy your food. You want something to complement your food, right?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of wine. All these different varieties of wine, they all serve a different purpose in what you want to accomplish from a food standpoint. Or, you know, in some case, you just want to have a couple charcuterie boards, different kind of meat, and a couple cheese. And these wines will complement it. You don't have to go all crazy on it. But yeah, as far as price point, just because it's expensive does not mean that it's far, like, really high. Or even the other way around. If a wine's really, really cheap, doesn't mean that it can't be good.
Okay.
The one thing to keep in mind, too, is if a wine is really, really cheap, that means that they fermented it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not aged.
Okay.
The reason why wine becomes more and more expensive is because it's the aging process of that wine. So as you're noticing, the wine that we're having, the price point changes as it goes up. So, like, I mean, I don't know if you want to mention it on here, but...
It's okay.
But yeah, as the wine gets older, as it ages, it goes through a different fermentation process, and that's really what you're paying for. You're paying for that process to make your from medium to bold, different flavors. How about wine?
Yeah. How about we enjoy our wine and finish up geeking out, honey? Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us on our wine tasting trip today. This is Frances Bauer with Design Your Life, only on TNC. Cheers.
Ang ubo, mabilis lumala, kaya dapat agapan. Dapat new Solmix Advanced Syrup. May 2x zinc para ang ubo, imbis na lumala, tulungang mabilis mawala. New Solmix Advanced Syrup.
Unilab yan.
Ang 40D, tumutulong patibayan ng vital organs, iwas sakit sa puso at iba pang sakit.